go out for questions at the cocktail party.
Get it, the show on the road.
Thanks for coming. I've been lumped with the last session of the day after lunch and after everybody's filled up the bellies. I think to make it a little bit more interesting, can we try and make it interactive? I think everybody always says that in the beginning of a presentation. But if you've got anything you'd like to ask or don't understand or want some more information on, please ask and we can handle it as we go through. I'm not going to leave a specific time for questions afterwards. So let's just take you through backup as a service. So I think I did the presentation on the plane 2 days ago. So I thought I'd give you a very brief overview of where we've seen backup coming from and what we're doing today. So in the 60s we used to equate backup to an insurance policy to make sure that what you had and data that was valuable you could restore if you lost files or if you had a disaster. So in those years the people used to use punch cards. Later it went through to the big spinning magnetic tape reels that were on fairly big machines, through to the 2000s when most of us started coming into the IT industry. The backup media in those days were the old DAC tapes for the Unix boxes and then the DLTs from 1 through to 5 and 7, and then the VHF took over from the Betamax, LTO took over from Super DLT. And that's just to give you a background as to how far the data centrics or the expertise in backup goes back. Today, and in the mid-2000s, we started using spinning disk, which today is also history because we've gone over to solid state type of disks. But it's not just the media that's important, it's how we used to do it and how we're doing it today. Now you hear a lot today around putting your data in the cloud, which is a great idea if you can eventually get it there and your network is big enough to get whatever data you need to get there. The problem comes is when you have to get it back and to restore it properly in a proper way. So that's why the session backup as a service is not a cloud presentation per se. But today, yes, I've got an icon there with a cloud and some computers because we believe today's IT environment to be a hybrid environment. And you've heard it from many people over the today and half of yesterday. For the staff that were listening, the half of people or customers that have gone to the cloud with certain applications are back on-prem because of not necessarily issues but costs that didn't work out the way they thought they would be working out and a few other reasons. But I'm going to click through the slide quickly and start off with a question about what is a good backup? A good backup is the backup you can restore when you need it. A good backup is not a good backup when you make it. It's the one that when you need it in a disaster is in the right place at the right time and you can restore it. And you have a system to restore it. So I think there's some basics and I haven't used slides at all from vendors because the backup is a service that we do as DataCentrix. We do with a multiple of vendor products. We don't use one. We're not single mode, multi-mode. We do it on-prem, we do it in the cloud, and we do it with a number of vendors products. Okay, so I haven't gone vendor specific yet. This slide is one of the vendors' views on how many copies you need to keep where. And I agree with more or less with it. The first one is three different copies. And then you go through to the the fact that how quickly you need to get it offside, and that's probably more important than how many places it's in. But the first thing, it must be encrypted and it must move fast, so that you shorten that risk window up front. Okay, I think I drafted this to give you an idea as to what I mean by backup as a service, or what DataCentrics means by backup as a service. It's got different elements, and it's loosely aligned with the backup, the infrastructure as a service, software as a service, and then what we call solution as a service. And those elements are ranged from one. The infrastructure as a service would normally have a hardware focus. It would be hardware on-prem or in another stage, but the customer himself will own software and will own people to do the operations, and will be backing up to hardware devices, whether disk, combination of disk and tape, and we'll have that discussion around disk and tape a little bit later. When we get to platform as a service, the service normally comprises of hardware and software. DataCentrics buy the hardware and the software, and the customer, through his staff and backup staff and data center staff, still run with the daily operations of backup, okay? And then the solution as a service is when you do all three. And the economies of scale work best lower down on the graph, because, and we've just been having that discussion over lunch now, is we've got, if you've got about five or six customers as backup as a service customers, you've normally got a redundant two backup administrators watching those 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 customers' backups every day, every morning, to make sure that backups were successful, testing them, doing things. That would equate to, if the customer wanted to be redundant, 20 people, or say 15 to 20 people in the customer side. So already on the people side, there's a fairly big cost saving. That's not the only cost saving. And I think when we look at those cost savings, and when we try and equate whether a backup is going to be cheaper within the customer realm or within a service, you need to answer those questions there. And I'm not going to go through them all, but pick up capital costs of hardware and software as a discussion in this slide. If all of you in the room bought your own backup software, and you're buying it on a capacity license, you're all buying from 1 terabyte to how many terabytes you've got in terms of backup. If you all backup as a service customers with DataCentrics, we add those terabytes together, and obviously the economies of scale give you some vendors, a 70% saving on backup software. So then you can understand why a backup as a service through people firstly, and then software, is cheaper. It's a little bit more less prevalent in the hardware area, because if you're using on-prem hardware, your hardware costs are normally about 70 to 80% of what your hardware costs would be. Because a lot of the hardware devices on site, on your premises, because that's important. We don't take your backup off your premise immediately. There's always an on-prem element for very good reasons, which we'll go in very briefly later. But the device that we are putting on your site, from any of the vendors, has a very big software element to it as well. Forget the backup software, just the software of the actual device we're using, whether it's a storage subsystem, a tape library, a virtual tape library. What we do is we strip that software out of the purchase with a vendor, and we also fund that the same way we do your capacity licenses with each of the vendors. So in that, we end up about 70, 80% cheaper than being able to put a CapEx on your site, a CapEx cost of hardware. Okay. There's a lot of value in doing an ROI, and a lot of the cost savings we get in an ROI is going away from tape on-prem, because of storage costs of tape, costs of tape, and the fact that tape is becoming not your first port of backup, but rather a retention in the back end. Okay, so we'll talk about that as well. And then I've discussed the human capital element as well. Any questions? Am I boring you all? No. Okay, so other considerations, tape versus disc. As I said in the first slide, we used to use tape up front. Tape's not cheap. It's a cheap media, but to get it off-site and to replace it every couple of years is costly. But tape is not dead. Tape is very alive, especially in the areas where your retention is long-term. Okay, so what we would normally do when we come to you and offer you backup as a service, we will do an analysis of your data first. Okay, we will look at your data and we'll say, guys, you're backing up a lot of data every day that is actually an archive. It's not backup. Okay, so we'll firstly go and differentiate archive from backup. Then we'll come to you and we'll run a bit of an optimization on your data and on your storage subsystems and decide what data is backup data and what data is archive data, and then structure it accordingly. And what we would then do is build the backup solution, and that's why backup as a service, the solution, to suit your personal data set, okay? Take it from there, and that's why I say on-prem, off-prem. This is not a cloud offering. This is an on-prem and off-prem offering. And those premises can be your own data center, your own DR data center as a second port, our data center as a second or third port, or the cloud as a second or third port. So there are a lot of options, okay? And in fact, in the existing implement or solutions we have, there's a multiple of all those I've just mentioned. Two customers with their own on-prem solutions, and the only difference is in the traditional world they would have been buying everything. In backup as a service, we buy everything and we equate that monthly charge over the period of the contract, having discussed those savings I mentioned earlier on. Okay, licensing model I've mentioned, and I mentioned network as well. If you don't understand the backup, or if you don't understand what you're doing with those backups, the network is definitely always a problem. So deduplicating and compressing and making sure that you're getting those basics right at source and not after you've transported everything over the network the first time is some of the tricks of the trade that we obviously will be doing on your site if you agree to an assessment. I think if there's any slide that I want you to look at, it's this one. Why Datacentrics? I think I started with Datacentrics in 2001, and when I got there, I had a lot of expertise already within the people, especially in the backup side. Our operation nationally is not has John, how many backup people in the national operation?
40, 50.
Yeah, 40, 50, with probably, if you add up all their expertise, some of them are very old, so probably, you know, a couple of hundred years. So I think what happens here,
a couple hundred petabytes.
Yeah, petabytes, yeah. So I think what happens here is there's a lot of expertise in a solution, and it's not about, you know, what disk you're using, what software you're using. It's coming up with an assessment, making you comfortable, costing it for you on a CapEx basis with ourselves and maybe with a competitor, looking at the price, and then sensibly saying, yes, but this as an OpEx purchase is going to make sense. It's cheaper. I don't have to own equipment anymore. The trend is all more and more going away from those large CapEx purchases. And understanding that somebody has always got their eyes on your backups every day. It's not a single point of failure in your office where I missed the backup, I didn't check the backups this morning. It becomes a professional service. It is the easiest one to outsource of all the as-a-service models. And that's why we've got some storage as a service, but they're still giving us a little bit of trouble, and they're not as scalable. You know, when you're buying storage and you're using it, you know, what can you do differently? But the backup as a service one is really paying dividends in the areas where we're running it. I think as a company, we've got probably, what, about half a petabyte under yeah, as a service in the central pool now, right?
About 20 on the managed service, yeah. As a service,
The options, as I said earlier, you keep it on your site and on your dealer site, and then the one that John and I are just thinking about now is in the shared model, in the shared where we've got multiple customers on one of the in our data center. We probably got customers' data of about half a petabyte on our site at the moment. So that's where we are, more or less, to give you an idea. And I mentioned it. You can't write off that couple of hundred years' experience in all the different products. Okay. I think that kind of covers it. It was quite quick. So if anybody has questions about how we do it or anything specific, then John is here, and I'm not sure who else is here. You can ask them now. Yeah, everybody's here.
I think it's a test.
Oh, is it? Yeah. It's a test.
Can you tell us a bit about the golden copy? Do you do that? You know, we have a golden copy, which is for security purposes, which is totally segregated from any internet access. Do you look at that as part of the backup strategy, or do you look at that as part of security type?
It's security within the backup stack, and if you look at this here, here's your three copies, and you see this one there.
Yeah.
That is your golden copy, because that one is a copy that is kept somewhere where it's not touching a network for security and stuff. So that's where your encrypted tape comes in. But there are different ways of doing it. There's not only one way. So the difficulty with a golden copy in a backup, okay, is that you've got two different restores that are required. You've got restores. Thanks. You've got 5 minutes. You've got restores that need to happen now on site. You deleted your file, and it needs to happen now. That is not a restore that you're going to be doing from a tape copy from a WhatsApp. It's a day-to-day. And then you've got that scenario where you start talking about backup as a service structured for disaster recovery and for system outages. Those are normally the ones where you'll start talking about time to restore and from which copy you're going to be doing that. Okay. Does that answer the question?
I think what I'm asking is that you don't restore back into any infected environment.
Yeah, well, so
where is that environment where you're going to restore to?
It could be anywhere. The environment could be, the environment would normally be offline. For your safest copy. So in other words, you've got your production data center, you've got your DR data center, and then, say for instance, you are restoring into our multi-tenanted device. We wouldn't keep your golden copy in the multi-tenanted device. We would keep it offline, either on tape or on disk in a different place. So for your data center, we would do the same. That's why I say tape. A lot of people are saying tape is dead. Tape is dead as far as you want to keep offline copies, stored copies. You just need to keep in mind the tape technology, because tape technology does change from time to time. LTO is two versions readable back and stuff like that. But you it does become a bit of a mission if you're leaving your offline copy for too long. You need to watch that. Any other questions?
What's the shelf life of a tape?
Oh, it's long. Tape can last you very... I think... John, help me here. We've got tapes
at the back. The shelf life of the tape?
Maximum 4 years. 4 to 5 years, but it's
4 years.
A good idea four to
where
store
you
your tape regularly.
Yeah.
Because if it just sets your magnetic tape, tends to stick, and when you need it in 4 or 5 years' time, you'll spin off all your magnetic.
So
yeah.
You spool it.
Yeah, you need to keep it moving.
100%. So, contrary to what people think, is if you make a golden copy, you raise that on one tape, and you're going to put that tape in the cupboard forever, you might have a problem. So the more you use magnetic tape, I wouldn't say the longer it lasts, but the more reliable it is. So you would probably rotate those tapes in any case. Even on the offline on the offline version, you put some form of tape rotation in place. You don't agree? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because?
Well, it's only 40 years of experience.
40?
Yeah, so I think what you must understand about tape is that the more often you use it, the more likely it is to stretch a little bit. Things like that, it becomes a little bit less reliable.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is you want to have a set of tapes where you keep tapes for a certain amount of time, and maximum usage maybe every 6 to 8 months where you reuse it. But you don't want to keep using tapes all the time, otherwise...
Yeah, but that would be true if your on-site backup is directly to tape, right?
Well, you know, I mean, you guys do on-site.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. That would be true. That's what I'm saying, it's true for... Because we're still doing it directly to tape.
Yeah, but, well, no, we don't. We go
disk
to disk.
Disk to disk, yeah.
And then we pull it from there. But, so that just keeps the systems available in there. But tape shouldn't... If you keep using tapes more and more, when... We use some tapes once every 5 weeks, and those tapes will not last as long as the tapes we use every 1 month.
But isn't that more or less what I said?
No, you said
the more frequently you use it, that?
You said the more frequently you use it, the more reliable it
becomes. Okay, yeah, maybe that statement was a little bit wrong. So the more frequently you use it, the longer it will last, either. But there's a fine line. I mean, we normally if we are and traditionally, we have a lot of sites where we're still backing up to tape only. We're replicating, obviously, to the data center like we're doing, and then we're making a tape backup. And those tape rotations are set for weekly, monthly, and daily, weekly, and monthly backups. You know? So, yeah, I'm not 100% sure that answer.
The reason I'm asking is because we're looking at tape for long retention periods, purely for compliance.
Yeah.
Not to restore
for what type of system? An ERP system or imaging or what?
ERP, VM environments, just to clear files as well. So we want to just keep it because we have policies that say
supply
for 5 years. Yeah. We can't keep it on disk for 5 years.
Yeah, look, I think that's where the...
2 years down the line, they say, well...
Thanks for that. Can you show it in the front here? We'll have a chat now. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks,
guys.